Hello and welcome to Deep Dive Celebrity Adjacent, Episode 2.
Yes.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I am great. I'm Andy Tarnoff. I'm the host of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, and I'm joined once again by someone who does not need any introduction in Milwaukee or Wisconsin. Maybe the world.
Well, we used to get mail from all over the world.
Really?
We did.
Okay.
And because people would listen in Europe, they would listen online.
Oh,
and
okay, so you are world famous.
Well, okay, whatever.
Okay, people, in case you do not know Carol Kane, you should, which you might know from our first episode of Celebrity Adjacent,
right,
in which we talked about our friend, I'm calling him my friend, Henry Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, you will understand who we're talking to here, someone who is not just a radio and TV expert, but also a friend of the people.
You know, I think that I'm not going to say no to that.
Okay.
Because I think the popularity of just my personality came out because of the fact that I talked about everything. You know, there were no sacred cows. You could ask me anything and I would answer, and I would tell, people would write to me and say, you have the same kind of stories that I have.
Yeah.
And that's what people related to. I mean, I just told you off the air about my coyote story.
Yes.
And I posted that online, and people were like, oh, my God, we've got coyotes, too. And, you know, my dog Beauregard and Sydney were outside, and Beauregard was howling to beat hell. And I looked out, and it was 6 in the morning, and here's this big coyote standing in the middle. So I went flying off the deck in my robe and my slippers with my arms waving, screaming, go away, go away.
You're very relatable. When you were coming up in radio, did they want you to be relatable, or did they want you to be larger than life? What were they asking you to be like back then?
I never really got too much direction.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that when I was working in Fort Atkinson, I was just doing the record thing and just, you know, ins and outs and stuff like that. And then once I moved into Milwaukee,
yeah,
I just started talking about my life, and it just became so easy and relatable for people. And I would have people that would stop me and they'd be like, oh, I loved your story about this, or I loved your story about this. And so it wasn't hard. It really wasn't hard.
I think that people now maybe don't, in this on-demand sort of world, people forget that you'd be on the air for like 3.5 hours, right? Every morning?
No, we started at 5 and we ended at 10.
Okay, so five hours, five days a week.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you got to get to know that person, right?
Right. And for the first, like, 10 years, it was 6 days a week. We worked on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we would get up and we would do whatever little dog and pony show we had to do. And, you know, I would just, Dave, my former partner, would get like a big stack of show prep stuff, and he would go through that, and I would just sit there and go, okay, I got a story for you. Here's the deal. And it became what it became.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was rewarding. And I have done so much stuff that, you know, we did the show from an air balloon. We did the show from...
You were in a hot air balloon?
Yeah, hot air balloon. We were broadcasting the show from a hot air... We were in the air.
That must have been challenging with acoustics to be in a hot air balloon.
Well, and that's real close quarters, too.
Yeah.
And, I told you the story about the nudist camp.
You did a show from a nudist camp?
Yeah, Sunbury Hills down in Burlington. Yeah, that was something.
Did you know it was a nudist camp? Like, this was planned?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you naked?
No. No, no, no. That's something you do not want. I don't look at myself in the mirror when I get out of the shower. No. But we did have everybody who knows Milwaukee knows about Dick Bacon. He was the iconic guy that would sit in the beach. And,
yeah.
And he was standing right next to me, and it started to warm up, and everybody decided to start taking their clothes off. And he was right to my right, and you couldn't avoid it. There it was. He just took his clothes off. And then this one woman came in, and she had a pack of cigarettes under one breast and a lighter under the other. And she just was like, oh, here we go. And I just, it was interesting.
Did you find that distracting to be doing live radio while a bunch of naked people were around you?
No, I love it. No, I do.
You could just roll with it.
Yeah, I love when people would show up and we would be on remote or something, and they would come up and they want to talk to you. That was the only problem with that, when you have a lot of people standing around, is that because people think they know you, and so they want to have a conversation, and it's like
back to the show.
I gotta go.
Yeah, the break's over.
So, anyhow, so we did our show from Los Angeles, which is going to be more stories that I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah,
we did our show from Hollywood and Los Angeles and New York and Jamaica and Germany, and doing Oktoberfest and just crazy stuff.
What a time to be alive.
I know.
Okay, so I think this dovetails a little bit into what the concept of this podcast is.
Okay.
Celebrity adjacent. So we're talking about shared experiences that we have with celebrities. We talked about Henry Winkler in episode one. In episode two, we are talking about my childhood hero, who I have now met as an adult. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's the real deal. We're talking about Hall of Fame, Milwaukee Brewer, lifetime career, shortstop, center fielder Robin Yount.
He is, when you say he's the real deal, you're not exaggerating. He is one of the nicest, kindest men. He was always very giving in the fact that if you asked him to come on the air, he was always there. He would call in if he was in Arizona.
Right.
And we wanted to talk to him about something. I'm a huge 1982 Brewers fan.
Me too. There might be some stuff in the background here.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's, I think, Rob Deere is back there. I don't think he was on the 82 Brewers, but
close
enough, yeah.
Molly.
Oh, that's an 82 pennant, or that foam finger thing up there. Yeah, on the other side it says ALCS, yeah. So you were a fan of these guys, but you were also working at that time.
Right.
And you had a chance to get to know these guys as guests, as friends.
Right.
Tell me everything.
Well, Robin would come in. Molly would come in, Paul Molitor. That's another story I got
a different
to
episode
at some point in time. Pete Vukovic was on the show for a long time, Vuki.
Piece of work, that guy.
He's a character, absolutely, no doubt about it. Molly gave me a jacket for my son before he was born.
Yeah.
And it was a little 18-month-old jacket. And it was about three or four years ago. I got a hold of Steph Bando, who is Sal Bando's son, and he's a sports guy.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got this jacket. I'd like to have him sign it. And he goes, I happen to have an 82 reunion happening this weekend at the at the baseball card out in Waukesha, the baseball card shop.
Yeah.
So I walked in with the jacket, and Vuki looked at me and he goes, what the hell are you doing here? And I'm like, okay. And I told him the story, and then all of a sudden Molly comes walking in, and he's going in the back going, where's Radio Carol? Where's Carol?
Aww.
And Robin would come in whenever you asked him
Was he like a regular weekly guest?
No.
Okay.
It was always on a special occasion, like when he launched his lemonade.
Yeah. That's just part of my story, but we'll get back to that. Okay.
Yeah. When he launched his lemonade, he wanted to come in and promote it.
Yeah.
And so we're like, fine. If something was happening with the Brewers, he was always very forthcoming and would be willing to talk about what was happening, like changes in the roster or new guys coming in or whatever.
Yeah.
He was with them. He never left the Brewers, which I thought, and he's got so many records with the Brewers.
Absolutely.
So he's a really great guy. And I remember I said to him once, because I couldn't believe that the Brewers were allowing him to do his motorcycle racing.
That one was, so we should give some background on that one. That was one of the few things that he insisted that he be allowed to do.
Right.
And it was a super dangerous thing for your star player to be dirt biking and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But they let him do it because he was Robin Yount.
They let him do it because he was Robin Yount.
Yeah.
And he told him, that's what I want to do. My favorite Robin Yount story, though, is when I was asked to fly with the Blue Angels.
Yeah, tell me about this.
And I know, I brought the picture in so you can
we'll
see
cut
it.
To that.
So it was Robin, me. If you say no, they'll never ask you back.
Right. For sure.
It's a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah.
And So it was Robin first, me second, and this guy from a community newspaper like out in Waukesha. Okay. That was third.
Okay.
And I remember walking, we were in the back, and we had to get all the gear on, and it's like, okay, this is where we're going. And the plane came in, and Robin gets on his plane. And he goes, he wrote on my picture, "Have you had much fun as I did? Sincerely, Robin Yount. Have we thrown up yet?"
Most people throw up.
Most people throw up.
Or pass out.
And I did not.
Okay.
I was very thrilled that I didn't. But Robin took off, and we're all waiting for him to come back. And it's a pretty short flight. It's like 30 minutes or something. You're up in the air.
Yeah.
And so Robin, when he gets off his plane, he's mobbed by the media.
I'm sure.
Nobody gave a shit about me.
No. You may be a celebrity, but you're not Robin Yount.
No, I'm not Robin Yount. Yeah. So he was mobbed by the media as he's getting off his plane. Now, I'm passing him to go to my plane.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I go, "So, how was it?" And he grabbed me by both my shoulders and he pulled me in and he whispered in my ear, "Good luck, Carol." Oh. And I was like, "Oh, I'm so screwed. This is a Hall of Fame baseball player. He's an
elite athlete."
Yes. And I'm just goofy Carol.
Yeah.
And so when we got done, he was still back in the building. And he came up to me and he's like, "So how'd it go?" And I go, "Oh, boy." And so they had taken a picture of us standing outside one of the planes. And my husband, being my husband, he sent this off to Robin with a lick and a promise, thinking maybe he'll sign it, maybe he won't. But Robin was gracious enough to sign it. But when he said, "Good luck," oh, Andy, I was just like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And it's a really interesting experience to fly with the Blue Angels.
I've done it.
Oh, you did?
Although I didn't do what you did. I flew in the Chase plane.
Oh, got it.
I flew in the, it was called, I think, Fat Albert, and it was this zero-gravity, jet-powered C-130 Hercules without any windows or air conditioning. And I, once the weightlessness occurred,
oh, wow,
I started to hyperventilate a little bit. I'm embarrassed to say.
Well, this was back when I did it. They had videotaped.
You have footage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to convert that. Okay, yeah.
Now, I will tell you this, and it's probably a little too much information.
No such thing.
But my son laughed and laughed and laughed because when we were doing, we did a loop.
Yeah.
And I finally said to my pilot, Kevin, I go, "Don't do that again." "Don't do that one again." But my nose started to run.
I'm sure.
And in the footage, you see this...
Just snot flying out of your nose?
It was out like a foot.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're upside down. It's, you know...
And so, and my son would just rewind and rewind and laugh and laugh.
That's great.
But Robin so graciously signed my picture for me, and I have seen him since this.
Yeah.
And he always talks about... In fact, I just was on TMJ with him. I got the kid.
The kid.
I was able, I got a hold
he's always
going
to be the kid. I think he's pushing, is he 70?
He's 69, I think.
He's still the kid.
Right. And so I got a hold of him because Steve wanted to talk about the Brewers, Steve Scafidi from TMJ.
Yeah.
And so I got a hold of Robin, and that was funny. Robin immediately, "Carol, you bet. I will call in." I said, "Great." And that was the first thing he came on the phone. He goes, "Okay, Carol, did we throw up yet?" You know,
he remembers.
He remembers everything. And that was another funny thing because I went back in and people were like, "Okay, who got the kid?"
And I'm like, "You did."
"I did." And they were like, "How'd you get a hold of Robin Yount?" And I said, "Well, because I know him and he's gracious." And so he called in and we were supposed to have him for like 10 minutes.
I bet you had him for much longer than that.
About a half an hour.
Yeah, that's
how
he is.
He just kept going. And he was one of those guys too that he'd be like, "Do you have any more time?"
Right.
"I've got all the time in the world for you, dear."
Having Robin Yount's cell phone number is probably the greatest single accomplishment of my life. And I try not to abuse it.
Okay.
But I have a couple Robin Yount stories.
Okay, spill.
That range from like the Goonie fan to, you know, more professional. This is a little different than Henry Winkler, where I just, you know, shook his hand. I mean, obviously, I grew up as a gigantic Brewers fan. I road trip to Cooperstown to see him in 1999, but I didn't know him at that point. I met him when he launched Robinade, which, by the way, is my favorite lemonade because it's Robin Yount lemonade.
Right.
But we, when I was at On Milwaukee, we all got the news release that it was like a teaser, and it didn't say what it was, but I figured it out. Mm-hmm. So I wrote the first story about it, and then when they announced it, and I showed up at the news conference, he was like, "Hey, you're the guy who figured it out, wrote that first story about it. Let's talk Robinade."
Okay.
I was like, "Yes, please." So Robin came to my office. He's just a guy, right? It's just a guy. And the first thing he sees, and I'll bring up a picture of this. It's my life-size 1985 Robin Yount growth chart.
Oh, nice.
Which I had in my bedroom as a child, and they're like, you know, little Andy growing and growing and growing. And he's like, "I remember this. You can tell it was from 1985 because of the wristbands I'm wearing and because of the size of my baseball glove." He's like, "Can I get a picture in front and next to my own life-size 1985 Robin Yount?" I'm like, "Yes, absolutely." And he hung out in our office for a while. And then I took a flyer. I said, "Hey, would you be willing to record our outgoing voicemail message for On Milwaukee? Like what happens when you pick up the phone, when you call before you dial an extension?" He's like, "Sure." So for like years, when you called onmilwaukee.com, it would be like,
"Thank you for calling onmilwaukee.com, Milwaukee's daily magazine. This is Brewers and Baseball Hall of Famer Robin Yount. Any time of the year, Milwaukee tastes better with some of my cold, refreshing Robinade. If you know your extension, dial it now. For a list of extensions, dial 1. For the operator, just dial 0.
And then he was like, "You know, do you want to come to my suite and hang out during, you know, the Brewers game tonight?"
Yes, I do.
And, I mean, the Robin Yount suite is not just like some suite. It's like the founder suite. This is the guy who helped decide what the outfield, the shape of the outfield was going to be for Miller Park, now American Family Field. And I sat there and drank Robinade margaritas with this guy. He's the nicest guy in the world. Then, not last summer, but 2 summers ago, Robin Yount and Leroy Butler did a collaboration.
So, oh, sure, with the vodka?
Mm-hmm. So we should add Leroy in here for sure, because he was a Dave and Carol longtime guest, wasn't he?
Oh, Leroy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he should be – we could probably get him in here to do this podcast. I mean, he's in Milwaukee. But so he has his own Leap vodka, and I had written some stories about that, so I got to know him. And then Robin, through his Robinade, they did a collaboration for a vodka lemonade. And Robin was in Milwaukee for another 82 reunion. And I said, "Hey, can I meet up with you to snap a quick photo for this?" And he said, "Yeah, meet me at a Cafe Benelux." So I came there with a 6-pack of this stuff. And he says, "Hey, Andy, sit down. Do you know Moose Haas?" I'm like, Of course I know Moose Haas, you know, former 82 Brewer. Robin bought me a Miller Lite and lunch, a burger, and we sat there and talked about life, riding motorcycles, he's the nicest guy in the world. And not everybody recognizes him anymore, because you got to remember that this guy retired in 1994, right? There's a whole generation of people who've heard of Robin Yount, but he doesn't have the sweet mustache like he used to. He's got a beard now. He's got long hair. So, you know, all these millennials and Gen Z people were just sitting at Cafe Benelux while Robin and his wife and Moose Haas and his wife and me were sitting there talking about baseball. And I was in that mode where I'm like, just soak it in. Just soak it in.
I don't blame you. I mean, Robin never pulled the star power gig.
Right.
He was always just a guy. And he, it's like I always say, this is what I describe myself as. I'm just a normal person who had an unusual job.
Yeah.
And he's the same kind of guy. He's just this normal, easygoing, affable kind of guy who just had a God-given talent to play baseball. And he just he did it so well, and those guys are all big buddies still. The 82 team, they're still big buddies.
Absolutely. The other story I was going to tell was after the closing of County Stadium.
Yes.
In 2000, and they were all partying at the Pfister, and through some like happenstance where the friend of Paul Molitor's then wife Linda worked for me, and so for some reason we had like their throwback uniforms, and Mary Pat said, let's go to the Pfister and hang out with the Brewers. And I was just like a fly on the wall, but I was watching these guys who had played together in 82, and they were just standing around telling inside jokes, drinking. If you have to meet your idols and they turn out to be that great, what a wonderful thing.
Right, right, right. And all of the guys that when I did do interviews with the Brewers, I've never found a clunker in any of them, really. They were all just, they loved Milwaukee. They loved playing in Milwaukee. They loved County Stadium. They loved Miller Park and Fanfield. There's something about the city of Milwaukee that they just embraced.
But you know what I think the difference is? Back then, there was no Instagram, cell phones, selfies.
Right.
Like, you could just be a celebrity, you could be an athlete, and you could kind of live amongst your people and not have to worry what's going to show up on TMZ.
Exactly, exactly. And I remember, I don't know how many baseballs I have. I took my son to County Stadium. Robin was playing. And Robin came and must have lobbed Alex, I don't know how many foul balls. So Alex is just grabbing them, just bring them in. And I did see Robin once, and I had one of the balls, and he signed it for me. So I have that. I've got one signed by Molitor, and I've got one signed by Uecker. And then, oh, that was another thing. I went to an event, and Uecker was emceeing, and Robin was there. And I had a picture of my daughter when she was 18 months or 20, and she's in a Brewers uniform.
As she should be.
And exactly. And so I took the picture around, and Robin's like, you bet I'm signing that. And he was so gracious, and Molly signed it, and Vuki signed it, Phil Garner signed it, BJ
Scrap
Surhoff.
Iron?
Yeah.
We have so many episodes here.
Yeah.
Because we could do one on each of these guys.
Yes. And, you know, it was so. I got the thing signed for my son, and then Liz has got this picture of her that's signed by all these Hall of Famers. Uecker is on it.
Yeah.
And Robin was just like, oh, look at how cute she is. And he couldn't wait to sign it. So that when I'm dead and gone, that's going to Liz. She'll get it.
Okay. Well, I think we should, when we're done with this episode, episode 2, Deep Dive Celebrity Adjacent, we should send it to Robin, see what he thinks. Report back. See if he's embarrassed by this. I hope you're not, Mystery Out.
I wouldn't think so. We haven't said anything really embarrassing.
There's nothing embarrassing to say. The guy's a real deal.
Well, my Blue Angels thing was just unbelievable.
Well, okay, we'll put those up there. And then not every one of these episodes is going to be about Milwaukee.
We have
stories to tell about people outside of Milwaukee also. But I thought we should start strong. Because Robin is so cool.
Robin is so cool, and there's so many. I've got so many stories about people from Hollywood and Los Angeles and New York, and
all right.
So
I'll try to match you on those to the best of my ability.
I remember getting hit on in New York by Grandpa Munster.
What?
I know.
Okay. Just tell that story, and we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Grandpa Munster hit on you in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We were
doing one of those round robin kind of things where every station had like a table.
Like and a dog and pony show for advertisers and stuff? Or
No, that was a guy who actually organized this stuff.
Okay.
And so every station that came from around the nation, everybody got a table, and then these guys would walk around and walk around and walk around, and they'd sit down. And I remember I stood up, and the guy who played Grandpa Munster, he was like, all hands, and he's got his arm around me, and he's giving me a kiss on the cheek, and I'm like, okay, Grandpa Munster.
I mean, that guy was old when the Munsters was on.
I know.
I'm assuming he was even older when this happened.
Yeah, I know.
Were you flattered?
So it's just kind of like, okay, that's enough. You know, Hasselhoff did the same thing. We were in Los Angeles, and I stood up, and he goes, oh, tall and beautiful. And he put his arms around me, and I'm like, okay, Dave.
I got Hasselhoff stories also. Yeah. But we're going to save them for another time. But I am impressed that Grandpa Munster hit on you. I'd be flattered.
Let's put it this way. It wasn't what I was expecting. You know, to be mauled by Grandpa Munster.
Fair.
Yeah, I was just trying to, I'm just doing my job, dude. Stop hugging and kissing me, okay? Stop.
He's an old man. This is the last, I'm assuming he's dead, so we can probably talk about him without any impunity.
Got a million of
them. I think
he
was probably dead a long time ago, but that is episode 2 of Deep Dive, Celebrity Adjacent. That's kind of a mouthful. This is the time when I tell people to like and subscribe, to share the podcast. Because it feels good.
Right. Just share it because we're just two people having a good time.
Yeah. And there's so much to talk about. And yes. It's so fun. And I love that we're doing this. After all these years, I found my bumper music, by the way.
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah. I guess I could probably play that. So every time I would be on the radio with you, there was like a little Andy song. I always got very fired up when that happened.
I know. And I love a picture you posted of you sitting at a board, like you really knew what you were doing.
I had no idea what I was doing, but no one took any pictures. Like, I can't find any pictures of you in the studio. I can't find any pictures of me in the studio. I was there. I know it happened. I know you were there.
Yeah.
But no photographic evidence exists.
I lost a lot when they let me go. Let's put it that way. Right. I lost a lot.
Well, we'll see if we can dig it up. Maybe fans can dig it up. Share. Send us what you got.
If somebody's got something, I'd love to see them. So we'll see.
And we'll see if Robin Young enjoyed this also.
Well, I'm just going to say this. If Robin's listening, when he listens to this, hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin. Thank you.
I miss you.
See you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.